keeps blood platelets from clumping together and increases blood flexibility.
What are you talking about?
Are you recording?
Yes.
I'm talking about dark chocolate.
What are your scores?
Dove dark chocolate. Which I have Tracy's in my hand right now, which is why I bought it.
Ah, it says Dove dark chocolate.
Has 41 cactofens and actofens, 41 milligrams. While dark chocolate, regular dark chocolate, only has 20 cactofens and actofens. Red wine has 16 for a 4-ounce glass.
Yeah, that's for this a is, larger glass, this three is times
for,
as large.
This is for one sample size. This is just like eating a little nibble. Apple only has 9 and black tea has 5.
What is the advantage of having antioxidants anyway?
Let me tell you. It reduces LDL oxidization and boosts antioxidant levels, which helps your red blood, basically. It helps your red blood be pure, so you won't have heart attacks and blood clots. So it keeps your blood platelets from clumping together and also increases your blood vessel's flexibility, so like you don't have a burst, which would be like a aneurysm.
Yeah.
Is when it bursts. Or a clot is when you have like a heart attack or a something.
You see, chocolate is not
so
an aphrodisiac.
Size does matter, apparently.
Size does matter?
Yes.
Chocolate is not an aphrodisiac.
An ounce of chocolate. An ounce of chocolate a day keeps the doctor away.
And it keeps your butt as big as it can be.
If there's not dark chocolate, it's just cacao. There's not that much fat.
My yes, she did just slap me.
Just 1 ounce of a very special chocolate packs more than twice the healthy antioxidant punch of red wine or other dark chocolates. This was totally put out by Dove Dark Chocolate. This is totally
conspiracy.
Hypnotized, or what's that called? Subliminal.
Subliminal.
So the second I read this pamphlet, I went out and bought Dove Dark Chocolate.
Is it sponsored by Dove Dark Chocolate?
I wouldn't be surprised.
www.prevention.com.
Like, why is Dove Dark Chocolate twice as good as any other kind of dark chocolate? That's what I'm curious about.
I don't know.
I have started eating Dove Dark Chocolate as a result.
What's the kind of chocolate that kills a dog, gives a dog heart attack? It's dark chocolate, isn't it?
You shouldn't give dogs sugar.
Once in a while, our dog, or my parents' dog, Daisy, will eat. She loves Reese's peanut butter chocolate cups. She'll eat the foil, too. I feel bad for her when she gets them. We don't give them to her. But sometimes, you know how dogs are. They just get their nose in there and they just can't say no. It's all about the itch.
Chocolate and nuts. Mmm. That's a good combination.
Yeah. What's your favorite kind of chocolate?
I like chocolate with espresso beans in it, so it has a little bit of a coffee flavor, because I like coffee and chocolate together.
Yeah.
Or with raspberries. I like dark chocolate and raspberries.
You know, that is pretty good. Remember those cups that my sister would bring home?
Yeah.
My sister named Stephanie. And she used to work for Godiva.
Godiva.
I don't know how to say it.
Godiva.
There's like divine. Well, Godiva. I heard someone say the other day, because it's like diva.
No one's ever said Godiva.
I don't know what it is. Anyway, she would have these cups. It's kind of like a Reese's cup, but it's all dark chocolate, and then they'd have like raspberries and blueberries on top of it, with like liquid chocolate like poured over it, little streams of it.
Drizzled.
That was my favorite.
Those
I like that even better than the hand-dipped strawberries.
Long-stem strawberries.
Yeah, those are good. Like in the summertime, they have the ones that are really big. They're like three times the size of a normal strawberry, and they're hand-dipped, and they're like $6 for one strawberry. They're good. We used to get them for free because she worked there.
Every day.
Oh. I guess they had strawberries there that were $100. Or not strawberries. Why don't you correct me?
Truffles.
Truffles.
It was some kind of special chocolate truffle, I think. They were like $100 a pound.
Yeah, I never got to try that, though. I remember she telling me upset one time that some customer wanted like some $200 bottle. Or box of chocolates. And he came in, she gave her some gift box, and it was like $100 just for the chocolate box that held the chocolates. Not including the truffles themselves.
Oh.
It was a big deal.
I don't remember that.
I suppose we should tell these people who we are. I'm Wyatt.
I'm Tracy.
Hi, Tracy. How are you doing?
Good.
And I should tell them where to find us.
www. www.havenofbliss.com.
She's falling asleep already.
No, I was practicing my podcast voice. That's how everyone says their website when they talk.
Oh, yeah? Mmm, what did you eat? It smelled good.
Ginger snaps.
I like
ginger snaps. Ginger snaps are a marvelous accompaniment to any fine food.
Tracy's been like Rachel Ray or that Gyoda woman. Who's that? Other woman. Is it Gyoda or something?
Gyoda.
Gyoda.
Everyday Italian.
They're all Italian.
Gianna De Laurenti.
They're like, oh, I'm Italian. I'm so wonderful.
I know. Look, everyone is Italian. Everyone is Italian on the Cooking Channel. That's a conspiracy. I should be on there.
Well, you're Grecian.
There's no blonde-haired person on the Cooking Channel that I can think of.
Because you're not Italian. Italians don't have blonde hair. They have brown hair. And brown skin. Mm-hmm. These are good.
They're good. Mm. Anna's ginger snap cookies. Buy them in your supermarket today. That's product placement. Those are good, though.
Yeah. What did you cook today?
I made Hungarian goulash.
Tell us about it.
Wyatt has been... what should I say? Whining over his Hungarian goulash for 2 years.
Once upon a time, I visited Hungary. And the capital city, you mocked my visit.
What?
You mocked my visit.
I didn't mock your visit.
You would. Now, here we go again.
That's because I have to hear about these
stupid stories over and over.
Stupid noodles. The ball of noodles that I broke open with my little fork. And they would just break apart.
You don't understand how good they were.
I don't understand.
I don't know a lick of Hungarian. But we did watch a Hungarian movie called Controller.
I think that was Czechoslovakian, to be honest.
No, but it was all about the Budapest subway.
Or was it Bulgarian? Oh, it was Budapest. You're right.
It was Hungarian.
Fine, you're right.
I rode that subway. I should know. Because I know, because I put a freaking 3-cent coin in and got a 2-cent coin back. Because they round up to 2. Where's the other 1 cent? It's gone.
That makes sense.
Well, okay. Let's translate
into
American.
Let's get back to the goulash.
We'll get to the goulash in a second. But I want to talk about the penny. Did you read about the penny?
No.
Tell me about K-Fed. Who's K-Fed?
Britney Spears' lackey.
Lackey? What's a lackey?
Servant boy, whatever you want to call him.
It's like, what the heck? I'm here to dance her.
Progenitor. He's a backup dancer. Progenitor for children. Stud. Stud would be a good word.
Stud. I guess so. Not that Britney Spears is that smart. I read in some magazine that she saved herself for Justin Timberlake.
Let's get back to
talking. Okay. We're eventually getting back to Hungary. Oh, how I long to be in the homelands. She just sighed. So anyways, K-Fed, which is short for Kevin Federline.
Correct.
Is on this campaign. There's pictures of him with this BlackBerry to make him look more official. To save the penny.
What? I haven't even heard about this.
Really?
I don't listen to the news.
This is his ambition. Now that he has money, his purpose in life, he doesn't know what to do with himself. He's on this, like, ambition to save the penny.
What's wrong with the penny? Does he even own a penny?
It costs $1.4 to make a penny. It's useless.
Why do we have pennies?
Exactly. He wants to save them because he feels like they're a part of Americana. They need to stay. They're memoirs of his childhood. I don't know what it is. But anyways, it costs 1.4 cents to mint a penny. That's so it's a total loss. You can't buy anything with a penny. And guess what the government wants to do about pennies?
What do they want to do?
Guess.
Feed them to elephants?
Which means?
Throw them in a waste dump or something?
Yeah, get rid of them. And what they want to do is they round transactions up to a nickel.
Follow me.
That's fine with me. I throw pennies away in the garbage can. Because seriously, they're just a hassle. It's not worth it.
But you know, a penny saved is a penny earned.
Yeah, but that was like 100 years ago, so a dollar saved is a dollar earned, what it means.
Fine. We all know Benjamin Franklin is the great Christian philosopher.
So that is why you need to eat goulash.
Goulash was a cheap meal. That beef for two of us only cost $2.
Whatever, it was like a dollar for a meal in Hungary. You would have loved it there.
I know I would.
I mean, I'm talking about 2 and 3 cents for a subway ride. Can't it was like it. 3 to 1. I mean, people get confused by currency exchange
elderly
rates.
People can ride for
because
free.
You have to multiply your euro by 60 to get the Hungarian franc or 40 or something like that. It's like a weird number. It's not base 10. It's not times 10 or whatever.
Yep.
So people get confused and they think they're saving. You got to count, like, how much does a gallon of milk cost? Or some sort
oh,
of...
Oh, $3.89 at Jewel?
Yeah. It's way overpriced in Chicago. But there's a thing called the Big Mac Index. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
It's how much it costs for a Big Mac in different places of the world. And it's supposed to give you an idea of how much... how strong our economy is.
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay? Hang staying with me?
You're way off topic.
Okay, I'll try to bring it back home. Anyways, it's not about like how much your money transfers. It's about how much U.S. dollars it costs to buy a Big Mac in different parts of the world. So, say it costs $1 to buy a Big Mac in the U.S., and then $1 will buy 3 Big Macs in Hungary.
Hungary.
I'm sorry. Oh, I don't know, like a Hungarian. Anyways, it's really cheap to buy goulash there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I couldn't spend enough money there. There was some guy who was like, I want to buy all these books. And they're like, you realize how much this costs? He's like, yes! You sure it can't cost any more? I'm trying to get rid of my money here, but I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, that's why I love goulash. Because it comes in a big ball of noodles and it's cheap.
And good.
And good. So that's why Tracy cooked it for me today. Because I've been talking about it forever, haven't I?
Yes.
We even took a bus for 2.5 hours to go out to this restaurant.
Paprikash,
because how do you define a meal that is Hungarian?
Paprika.
It has to have paprika in it. She got it, girls! Woo! Why don't you give a little cheer for that?
Yippee.
Woo! I like to keep things
any recipe that puts paprika in it automatically gets the name Hungarian for their prefix.
Yes, Tracy's getting back on board with me. She stopped rolling her eyes. She's starting to participate again.
That's because we're back on topic of goulash, which we were talking about an hour ago.
All right, anyways, what did you make today for dinner?
Hungarian goulash.
Right! And so she does nice things for me because next week is something very special.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
It's 100 years of havenofbliss.com.
Almost. Haven of Bliss was born in January 27th, 1997.
Good.
But that's not the anniversary next week.
It's our 1 year anniversary.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about 1 year anniversary?
I don't know. What are you planning?
Nothing.
Okay.
Well, we thought about going to the Green Mill.
I don't tell people. They'll show up there then.
Well, we're not going to tell them what day we're going to be there.
Okay.
Or when we're going to go. Or even if we're going to go next week. You know, I could even wait until next week to publish this.
Okay.
Anyways. We were thinking about going to the Green Mill.
Right. Because that's where it all began.
That's where we had our what?
Last dance with no. Mary Jane.
Okay, Tom Petty. You're not Tom Petty. What really happened?
It was our first date. It was times not. Nine.
It was like our ninth or tenth date.
Ninth or tenth date.
Where a very special moment occurred. About a month into our relationship.
You fell madly in love with me.
And I said,
you want to spend the rest of your life with me?
No.
Oh.
Okay, I'll tell them. This is when we had our first kiss. It was romantic. The band was good. What did I tell you?
I was beautiful.
And what else did I tell you? You were like what?
I don't remember. Let's talk about that.
I said that she was like heaven. And she is. Now she's gonna hold me and reminisce on how sweet I am. Please pause for a moment of silence. And we're back. Welcome to the Haven of Bliss podcast. Can I plug this enough?
No.
I know how many subscriptions they have. You better get your behind on that list.
Is there one and that's me?
Whatever, you don't listen to my podcast.
I'm subscribed to it, whether I like it or not.
Oh. Oh, well. So, what should we talk about today?
We've been talking for like an hour.
No, we haven't. We've been talking for 15 minutes and 57 seconds.
Not people are all going to leave because it's been so long.
Unless I edit it, and then the time will be off.
Okay.
Let's talk about...
Yoga.
Yoga. Okay. Go! Tell me about yoga.
Downward facing dog.
Downward facing dog. Upward Namaste.
Upward facing kitty.
And that's it. We do some yoga. You gotta all do the Ujjayi breathing. Oh, I feel so relaxed.
It's true.
How do you feel? Can you do Ujjayi breathing?
I'm silent Ujjayi breather.
You can do it. Come on, don't be embarrassed.
I don't breathe out loud. I breathe in silence.
Whatever, there's a distinct sound for Ujjayi breathing.
There is not.
Whenever the woman said so. There was clouds in the background.
When you breathe in, your stomach and belly is filled like the seas of Galilee.
And when you breathe out, it's out through your nose and your mouth at the same time.
Breathe that out through your nose and your stomach collapses into your spine.
And it makes you lightheaded because it deprives oxygen to your brain and makes you relaxed.
You pushed all of the oxygen out of your belly.
It's all the elements of in the cult.
Yes.
Namaste.
That's why we don't practice the religious aspects of yoga.
Prayer position. Is that like the missionary position? Or am I not allowed to say that?
That's enough. Beep!
I'm sorry. I apologize to all readers. I'm trying to keep this PJ.
PJ.
PJ. That's my French. Parlez-vous?
Jew.
Voulez-vous?
Bonjour. Anyway. Yoga is a very beneficial exercise to do, especially if you are a person of high stress level.
It does reduce stress.
It needs to relax or just get more flexible for your daily living.
We have a video that we've been doing. We do the relaxation yoga. It's only like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not even that long, I don't think.
It's 10 minutes on the dot.
All right. And we do all the positions and all the things like that, and you feel relaxed. It really works.
It's a combination of stretching and breathing.
What was the Christian recommendation about yoga?
I think it was to do yoga, but not to do the religious, to delve into the religious aspects of it.
If they talk about Taoism, they talk about Shintoism, they talk about Buddhism, Hinduism, and all these other isms, then you have to beware of the evil eye. Watch out for the evil eye.
Okay. Am I going to have to edit you like Corey?
I know. Sometimes when I'm tired, and there's no one listening, so I feel like I can say anything I want, but there could be 100,000 people listening to my podcast.
Pretty soon we'll be number one on iTunes.
We are on iTunes, by the way. Although no one's
Everyone that has a website or a blog or something is just a big hedonist. That's all I have to say.
It is a personal shrine. I mean, it's a little bit better when I have me and Tracy because it's like a hobby that we can do together. And if you're interested in doing a podcast or have any questions about it, send me an email. I love feedback. Please send me an email. Please, please, please. And all that jazz. Well, I just got back from New York City.
You're not auditioning for
whatever.
A movie.
I was in New York City. And I went to a play in Broadway. And I guess Chicago. We live in Chicago. It's a big city. And, there's this musical called Chicago. It's all based on the movie, and the song was like, and all that jazz and all the stuff. Living in a loop, living in a loop, living in a loop. They did this parody
of it. What are you talking about?
Well, they did a parody of the musical Chicago on Broadway.
Oh, I see. That makes sense.
And they changed it. It was like, and then all that jazz. I don't remember which song it was. Somewhere in the middle. And they had this section that goes, living in a loop, living in a loop, living in a loop.
Doop-de-doop.
Doop-doop-de-doop. Yeah! Hope there's some bass in that.
You're right.
We try to do immature things just to keep you entertained. Woohoo! What was the thing we did in the last one that was immature?
Cat hissing.
You want to do it?
No.
Come on.
No.
That's so fun. Do you want to hiss with us? I know you do. People are probably looking at you as you listen to this on your iPod or on your computer at work. And then you think, hiss. You're like, I'm going to say hiss.
I'm not participating.
Yes, you are. Come on. Oh, there it comes. You want to say it too. It feels good, doesn't it? What is that sound? What makes that sound?
The sound of being
is it mildly
annoyed. It's a mild annotation.
Is it a snake? What makes that sound?
Cat.
Cat?
Yes.
A cat sound. We used to have a bunch of barn cats in my house.
I know you did.
Several generations. They were wild.
They're nuts.
Do you know what a cat attack is?
Your grandma coined the term cat attack.
My grandma came up with that?
Yeah. I stayed in the room the first night. And I was freaked out, so I made sure that the walls were all sealed so the cats could not come in. But then your grandma came to visit the next day, and I let her stay in that bed. And she came out the next morning and was like, it was cat attack last night.
My
just
parents,
like Mars attack, but with cats.
My parents have all these, like, barnyard animal stuff because they just love pets. They just love animals. And, like, we had two barnyard cats or whatever. They always come home pregnant. And they always have a litter of, like, six cats. And my sisters all have stories about when the cat, like, gave birth, the kittens on their lap. And they came out in little sacks and then they break open.
It's
like
serious?
Really disgusting. Yeah, it's happened to all of them. It is kind of gross.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, there's kind of like an embryo over little kittens and they break out of them after they're born.
The placenta, you mean?
I don't know if it's a placenta. It's like an embryo around them. They have a membrane around the cats.
It's like a placenta.
Well, a placenta is like an extra pouch that provides nutrients.
The placenta is what you're inside of.
Is it?
Yes.
Anyway, I think the cats eat it too.
Yeah, it's placenta.
Anyways, we had talked about eating placentas in different podcasts. I stole from another podcast. We won't talk about that right now. So they had like six kittens, and they're all really wild. I remember reading Robinson Crusoe when he had to drown the cats because they just became such a nuisance. But anyways, Tracy's staying in this guest room, and there's all six kittens are living in this room. And they're like attacking her in the middle of the night.
No, I knew they were. I had a premonition that they were going to attack, so I made preventative measures.
Yeah. My parents have this schizophrenic cat that, like, lives in their bedroom. And it hasn't left their bedroom in, like, 10 years.
It's outlived, like, one eye.
It's outlived, like, 10 generations of cats. You know, like, it gave babies, and the babies had babies, and the babies had babies. And it's the only one that survived, because all the rest of them, like, they get comfortable, and they go outside, and they get hit by the cars in the road, because we live on a busy road.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only this cat that survived out of all these generations. And there was this one time
it's
when
a breeding machine.
Yeah, well, it doesn't have that many babies. But I remember one time my parents woke up in the middle of the night because it sits in the window on the other side of the screen. And this other cat was roaming around and saw her and jumped up in the screen. Did I scare you?
I knew the setup. Do
it.
Yeah.
Do it. She's embarrassed. I don't know, it's all for fun. You can do with me if you want. 3, 2, 1. Tracy did too, but I don't know if you heard her. Anyways.
What?
Enough of the cast.
Yeah.
What was the point of this? Yoga?
I don't remember.
Anyways, we're talking about yoga and paprika and Hungarian food. And then now, before you know it, we're talking about the war in Israel, aren't we?
You just want to talk about the war in
Israel. I know I do. I've been following it lately in the news. Hezbollah. Say it.
Haifa.
Haifa. Where's Haifa?
Wall Street.
It is not. Where's that? What country?
Israel.
And what country is Israel fighting with?
Lebanon.
Why?
Because of Jesus.
It is not. You know why. Stay with me.
It is because of
Jesus. Why do you always fall asleep during our podcast? They're that boring.
Because of the terror. Because of the terrorists.
The terrorists make her fall asleep. Because they're boring.
That's right.
In news, current events. Dun-dun-dun! So, Lebanon has this, like, terrorist organization called what?
Hezbollah.
What's it called?
Hezbollah.
Hezbollah! It's on the news every day.
Just like Al-Qaeda and Sharif and Omar.
Who funds Hezbollah?
Al-Qaeda.
Maybe. Who else?
Osama bin Laden.
Two countries.
What Syria, Yemen.
What's the other one?
And Lebanon. Iraq. Iran.
Because Iraq is disarray right now. Anyways, they're firing rockets into Israel. This all started because the Hezbollah moved into Israel and captured two soldiers. What they were doing is, like, Israel has all these terrorists, like, in their prison camps. And the Hezbollah, which is a terrorist organization within Lebanon, is going into Israel, capturing soldiers, and then demanding a prisoner trade.
Mm-hmm.
So all they're trying to do is get all these prisoners back.
Right.
So it's not like this fair thing where we trade our prisoners for your prisoners. They're actively pursuing this aggressive thing. And Israel's like, this has to stop. And the United States is with them. Even Israel, not Israel, Italy, has said that they support the United States.
Israel.
And Italy tends to be this communist country.
That was a long time ago.
Anyways, I've been watching it in the news because it's all biblical and all of this stuff, and I'm waiting for the two witnesses to appear and all that revelation jazz. I told you about the two witnesses today, didn't I? Who are they?
I don't think so.
Okay, the third part of Revelation... You're not hanging with me. I always get towards the end of the podcast, you're like, fall asleep. Oh, I'm so bored of this. If you're bored of this, no one's going to listen.
Good.
Good. You have to support yourself. I'm not holding you up anymore. Okay. Nope. Don't hold yourself up. She's sticking her tongue out. Okay, fine. This is why it's Haven of Bliss podcast without Tracy. She's looking at me. I'm back to current events. Anyways, in the end times. Stop. How embarrassing. You know, this is streamed live to the internet. The whole world is listening to you. What do you have to tell the whole world at this moment? You heard it, folks. It's hiss. We're coming close to the end of the podcast, by the way.
Yeah.
Tracy's getting sick of this. Was there anything you want to talk about?
I want to talk about Nahum.
Tell me about Nahum. Who's Nahum? It's not the book of the Bible in the Old Testament.
Then we totally didn't get into what you wanted to talk about.
I'm getting to it, but you're falling asleep because I was talking about the two witnesses, which are supposed to be Elijah and Moses, about the two woes, and then I was going to talk about the Old Testament. So we have to fast forward through that whole part. Look, she just fell asleep again.
La 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 la.
Okay, now tell me about Nahum. We're skipping ahead.
Nahum is a man of the Old Testament.
What happened?
Probably from around 700 BC. He was a leper, a very wealthy leper, and he went from Israel to Judah to go get healed by Elisha. Well, by the king, but then the king told him he had to go to Elisha.
Okay.
So Elisha told him to just go into the water and he would be healed. But Nahum was too proud to go do that and thought he would have to do something far greater. So he just scoffed and started to walk away and didn't want to get healed because he thought he was too good for it. But then his servants came and told him that he thought he was going to have to do something great, but since it was so easy to do, why wouldn't he just do it? So then he does go and he gets healed. And then he realizes that the God of Israel is the only true God.
What did you learn by this podcast?
I learned that man is very proud, and that sometimes they let they're thinking that they're so, all the stuff they do is so important that they couldn't just be a really easy way to do it, and that it couldn't be available to everyone because they're too good, that it should just be available to a few, but it's actually available to a lot of people. So they should be obedient to what they hear.
So where can they read about Nahum? Spelled N-A-A-M-E-N?
I think so.
Where is that located?
That's in 2 Kings chapter 5.
2 Kings chapter 5.
Kings it's an example of a conversion. Just a symbol, same as how people are converted today through Jesus.
Yeah. We had...
Go ahead.
I was just saying, we had a big discussion about Christians suing other Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And suing it all. And I was reading Matthew 5. I started to write a little column on the Haven of Bliss column about how wars and whatnot. And there's a verse that says, a Christian shall not sue another person, it says in 5. How many Christians to sue other people, and why did they do it? Because they feel like...
It says Christians to not sue other Christians.
No, it doesn't.
Fine, I haven't read it recently, but I think so.
Okay, I'm going to go get the Bible sitting on the table over there. Sit up. Hold on.
It says in small matters.
Speaking of it. She's smiling. Okay, sit up. We're sitting on the couch and she's like falling over. Okay, you have the Bible. You open Matthew 5. Do you know what Matthew is?
Don't patronize me.
Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. Pardon us as we flip. Scroll down to eye for an eye. You were there. You're already there.
Okay. Settle matters quickly.
Start reading with 38.
You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the other one who wants to borrow from you.
Goodbye.
You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He caught his son to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are you not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Ooh, that rhymes. Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
This is one of the most difficult sections of the Bible for anyone to understand. It is the most unnatural, illogical instruction, yet the evidence of it and the truth of it is undeniable. So Christians and anyone who have heard this will do whatever they can to explain away what Jesus has said. This is red letters here. This is from the Sermon on the Mount, the largest ministry preaching segment by Christ at any time. And people will do anything they can to deny this, because people will say, A, you can't turn the other cheek, because then there's a few rogue individuals who rule the world, so you can't possibly do this. They criticize that. They say that it must not mean this for all cases. It must mean for only Christians. You know, Tracy's waving her fingers to show
blah,
blah, blah.
Might I tell you?
Does it say only sue Christians? Not sue Christians?
Someone wants to sue you and take your tunic.
Who is someone?
So you can't ignore the part about taking their tunic. They wouldn't have said it otherwise. So there is an emphasis on how severe the charges are.
So if someone sues you over your tunic, you need to give them your shirt too.
Because it's a simple matter. It's like a piece of cloth. It's like, why would you get in a big argument over a piece of cloth?
So the reason why I explained this, my explaining to you the other day was that we need to think about the kingdom of God. And that's what matters, and this world does not matter.
Right.
So, like, so what if you lose your house? You're going to lose it anyway. It's just a box of wood. So what if you lose your job and do other things? They don't matter because everybody dies at the end, right? You lose everything at the end anyway.
Except for the kingdom things.
In the kingdom, which is better, to be martyred when you're young or to die in your bed when you're old?
Martyrdom.
But if you're living in earth, in this temporal life, without Christ, which is better?
The long life.
The long life, because it's all about satisfying yourself and getting what you can out of it, which would make sense. But if you think that death is the end, then that would make sense. But for a Christian, is death the end?
No.
And in the grand scheme of things, for a Christian, how important is life compared to the eternal life?
Not very important.
So, you and me being a Christian, we need to consider that this life is not important. So what should we be focused on in this life? That's an open-ended question.
Eternal things.
Eternal things, because the temporal things don't matter compared to the eternal things. So if someone sues you, and you give them everything you have and extra, knowing that you're wrong, it's the hope that they will repent and realize what they had done wrong, and maybe they'll change. But if they sue you and you fight back and you go for just and you see what you can get out of it, then that person's just going to fight you back more.
Right.
But that person knows when he takes advantage of you, when you give even more back.
People know when they do wrong.
So it's not like when someone hurts you, that you not only allow them, you enable them more. I don't know, like, you need to dwell into that even more and think about what it means. Because it doesn't necessarily say when people hurt you, you let them hurt them more. It says when people ask something of you, you do that, and then you do on top of that.
Right.
It doesn't talk about when someone does something evil to you, but it does say that when someone does something evil to you, that you should pray for them and to bless them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very difficult thing. I can't figure it out. And I've just been thinking about what is it right? Is it every time a Christian should kill another Christian or kill anyone else?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the answer to that. I think no. Right. Not since Christ has come. Before Christ came, maybe. But now that Christ has done it all, it changes things. Because there's the intercessor.
The kinsman redeemer.
The kinsman redeemer. Where's that from?
Ruth.
Ruth. Ruth is in the line of Jesus. You know that?
Mm-hmm. I do know that because Boaz is a descendant of Perez. And Perez is a descendant of Abraham.
Yeah.
And that's all in the line of King David, who is in the genealogy of Jesus.
Which is also interesting, because I've been thinking about 1 Samuel, because there's this verse about David when he's being pursued by King Saul, and King Saul's trying to kill him, and he sneaks into King Saul's bedroom and cuts off the corner of his cloak and presents it to him the next day and says, "Let the Lord judge between us for the wrongs you have committed towards me, because I will not lay my hands on the Lord's anointed."
Right.
It's a very interesting paradigm. Tracy's getting a little bored, but I'm going to tell you a little bit before we finish. It's just that God anoints these evil places to go in and to punish the righteous.
Mm-hmm.
We just read in Matthew 5 that the sun rises on the righteous and the unrighteous, and the rain falls on the wicked and the godly alike in this world.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So God uses the wicked to achieve his goals. God and Satan are not equal. Satan was created by God, and God knew what Satan would do before he created him, and he uses him for his purposes. But because God is a good God, in the end, things will be made straight, and things will be made good. But in this world that's in confusion and chaos, is a very complicated scenario where we have an ultimately good God who desires things that are good, who has created people who are bad, and has obligated himself to punish those people. But he also uses that punishment for the good of those who believe, according to his riches in Christ Jesus, which I just quoted from somewhere. Do you know that verse?
Romans.
Romans what?
8:28.
You are awesome.
I know.
And also 8:29. She is right on the ball, folks. Don't you wish you had her as your girlfriend?
Yes.
Yes. So all the world can know that I love Tracy. What do you think about that?
No, what do you think about it yourself?
I think it's true. I love you. To make you feel good that I tell all these people that I love you. Yes. Okay. Do you have anything else we should say?
No.
Okay, why don't you wrap it up?
Thank you for visiting havenofbliss.com for Wyatt's podcast at Haven of Bliss, www.havenofbliss.com.
Yes, folks, you have it. That's the end of the show. Boom, 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 boom. We are at the end of the show, folks. And Tracy's, we can't wait for it to be over. See you next time. Subscribe at havenofbliss.com or add havenofbliss.com/podcast to your iTunes. Go to advance. Ow, whiz bumped head. Click advanced, open stream, and add havenofbliss.com, and you will be able to get these episodes streamed right to your mailbox. Remember to check for photos. If you add this to your iTunes or iPod, I always attach a bunch of photos to this, so check those out too. And have a nice day, folks, and see you next time.